When you go out, when you went out this morning and you got ready to come to church, you opened your door and you sat down in the car and you thought, well, it's time to go. And so you just kind of sit there and waited, didn't you, for something to happen, because something had to happen for us to pull out of the driveway or out of the parking lot or out of the garage if you were sitting there. We had to do something, didn't we, to get it to go. Have you ever gone to the microwave and you open up the microwave door and you put something in there and you shut the door and you just kind of sit there and look at it? Like, well, I got this thing that needs to kind of heat up or cook or do something. It's popcorn. It's supposed to start popping here. But you had to do something for it to do that, didn't you? You ever went into your nice recliner? Maybe you have a nice chair with a blanket and you sit down and you have this big screen in front of you. It's a television screen. And you just kind of sit there with your arms folded and think, I'd like to watch something on this TV here. I'd like to see what's going on, what's wrong. You have to do something first, don't you? You have to grab the remote. Now you don't have to get up and go and turn it on. You can use the remote, right? Your phone ever rang? Your cell phone ever ring? And you say, well, that's my brother calling. I guess I need to answer that phone. And you hold it up to your ear and there's nobody there and you keep holding it back and looking at it and thinking, well, he's calling. How come he's not on the phone? Because you have to do something, don't you? Before the phone, you have to hit that button to answer the phone. You have to hit start. Nowadays, they make cars where you just hit the start button and it fires right up. There's no more putting the key in and turning the key. You just hit the start button if you put your foot on the brake, so the car will start. At the microwave, you had to punch in, well, I'd like for this to cook for 3 minutes at this temperature, and I hit start and it starts working. For the television to work, I had to sit down, I had to grab the remote, I had to hit that little red button that fires and starts that TV and up it comes. For the phone to ring or for the phone to answer and me to talk with my brother, I have to hit the answer button and then stick it up to my ear. I had to do something first before all of those things would do exactly what we were expecting them to do. For us to really live our lives the way that God wants us to live our lives, there's something we have to do. I don't want to call it a start button. I don't want to call it where you have to hit something, but there is something that has to happen so that everything else will fall into the right place. I'm excited about this new series we're starting today called Teach Us to Pray. And we're going to look at over the next few weeks what all is involved and to help you, I hopefully will help you a little bit more with your prayer life and to understand exactly what is involved in prayer. Our scripture that we have for this series comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18. It says this, "Be joyful, rejoice always," or "be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Another translation puts it this way, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Another one says, "Never stop praying." Another one says, "Pray without ceasing." And we're going to look at this idea of prayer and what all is involved in prayer and how it can affect our lives. We have to remember this. There is a start button, per se, that needs to begin before we do things in our life. Before we get to a point and say, okay, this is my next step. Before you take that step, something needs to happen. And we're going to look at that today because Paul told the church in Thessalonica, this is a constant flow of the Christ follower, that you are to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. It's just a big circle that happens in our life. When we decide that we're going to pray, we're going to give thanks, and we're going to rejoice, it just continually is a flow that happens in our life that we need to make sure is present in our everyday living. It says to rejoice always, and the opposite of that would be never rejoice. It says to pray continually, and the opposite of that would be what? Never pray. It says to give thanks in all circumstances, and the opposite of that would be to what? Just complain. Complain about everything. And so we see a lot of Christian lives today, they're never rejoicing, they're never praying, and they're complaining about every circumstance that comes their way. And that's not the case. That's not what needs to be a part of the Christian life. Not that we never rejoice and that we never pray and that we complain all the time. Wouldn't it be great to be around a bunch of people and a group of people that said, I love Jesus, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give thanks in every circumstance that comes my way. So I said this in our Wednesday night. We're just kind of extending from our Wednesday night study that we have, bringing out this series of prayer, that prayer should not be your last resort. It should be your first response. A lot of you have the wristbands that we have now that we passed out on Wednesday night. It says what? Pray first. Before you do anything else, pray. Matter of fact, pray continually. Rejoice always. And give thanks in all circumstances. Charles Spurgeon, he's really known as the Prince of Preachers, made this statement. Let all your actions be consistent with your prayers and be, in fact, a continuation of your prayers. Let all your actions be consistent with your prayer. So I'm going to pray, and what I've prayed, I got to make sure that my actions are consistent with what I've prayed. But in fact, just let it be a continuation of your prayer in your daily life. Prayer is continual dependence upon our Heavenly Father. So before you make a decision, pray. Before you go through a storm, pray. If you're in the middle of a storm, pray. And if you're just coming out of a storm, pray. Because, believe it or not, there's another storm coming. Before you hit the send button, pray. Before you type that email, pray. Before you send that text, pray. Before you say what's on your mind, don't you love people that say, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind? Well, pray. Before you make that phone call, pray. Before you have that meeting, pray. And for most of us, hopefully all of us, before you eat that meal, pray. And I'm not saying that we fold our hands, drop to our knees, and spend 25, 30 minutes in prayer. That's not what that verse means. For you to pray continually. I don't have time to close my eyes and fold my hands and get on my knees and spend time in prayer before everything I do in my life. And that's not what that is saying. It's simply saying for you to pray before everything that happens, simply to do and bring God into every situation of your life. Invite Him in to everything that is going on in your life. I think we have the tendency to believe that God really wants to help us out in the big things that come our way, but the little things He lets us take care of. The little small things, He doesn't have time for those. He has time for the big things, but He doesn't have time for those small little things that happen in my life or don't happen in my life. And the exact opposite is true. God wants to be a part of all of your life. So if we want to begin asking God before we act, praying to Him and talking to Him before we do all of these things, before We decide what we're going to do. We've got to hit the start button. We've got to pray first. And let's, as the disciples did to the Lord, simply ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so before we begin asking God, before we act, we need to begin by this. And first of all, this is in your handout. Present our hearts to God. We need to present our heart to God. Now, we're not talking about that vessel, that organ that's in your body that pumps your blood throughout your body. That muscle that pumps blood and keeps you alive. We're not talking about that, where we're presenting that part, that heart to God. The Bible mentions the human heart almost 300 times, and this is what it says. The heart is that spiritual part of us where our emotions and our desires dwell. See, our biggest problem we have is not external, it's internal. All of us have a heart problem. All of us have a heart issue. And the heart is the core of our being. And the Bible sets high importance on keeping our hearts pure. Hopefully you understand this. We are not a physical body with a spirit. We are a spiritual body. We are a spiritual being with a body. We're not a physical body that just has a spirit living in it. We are a spiritual being that just happens to have a body. Solomon told us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You have to put a guard around your heart. You have to be sure that where your treasure is, there your heart is. So make sure that your treasure is in the right place. Make sure you have the right types of treasure. Because wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be. So what do you treasure? Well, if you treasure the things of this world, you know where your heart's going to be? In the world. If you treasure the things of the Lord, know where your heart is going to be. When we present our hearts to God, we have to begin by doing a couple things. We need to first ask God to search our heart. We need to ask Him to search our heart. David said in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Luke said in his account of Jesus' life, written in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, I just have the last part. I want to read you the rest of it before we get to just that part. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says this, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. And here it is, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. We need to remember to put a guard upon our heart. We've got to ask the Lord to search it. Make sure there's things in it that are supposed to be in it. And if there's anything that isn't supposed to be in our heart, ask the Lord to help us to get rid of it. Matthew chapter 12, this isn't on the screen, but Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so before we go through anything, before we attempt anything, we've got to start. And we've got to realize that, first of all, I've got to give my heart to the Lord if I'm going to have a right prayer attitude. And by giving my heart and presenting my emotions and my will to Him, I say, Lord, first, before I ask for anything, I need You to search my heart. Because I know that whatever's in my heart is eventually going to come out of my mouth. And I've got to be careful that what's coming out of my mouth is only edifying. So when we allow God to search our heart, what does He find? Well, there's three things sometimes that He finds. The first one is sin. The prophet Isaiah pins this in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. It is because of your sins that He does not hear you. It is your sins that separate you from God when you try to worship Him. Very difficult to spend time with God. Very difficult to try to get a relationship with God when sin is involved in our heart and seems to consume our heart. We've got to ask God, Lord, search my heart. Is there any sin in my heart that I need to get take care of, that I need to confess and get rid of? John writes in his first epistle, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. All he wants us to do is confess it. Lord, I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my emotions. I'm going to give you my will today. And I need you to search my heart now. Is there any sin in my heart that I need to get rid of? The second thing he reveals to us is selfishness. You know how selfish people are today? It's all about I. It's all about me. It all needs to focus. Everybody needs to see what I'm doing and what I say and listen to what I say. Selfishness is very prevalent. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, wrote this in Philippians 2:3. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. It comes to a point where we got to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And I think we need to start our prayers with that. We don't need to start our prayers with, God, I got a list today. I have a prayer list. It's long. There's a lot on it. Don't start your prayers that way. First, before you do that, God, here's my heart today. I know I'm emotional about some things that are going on. I know I have my will that I'd like to see done. I'm going to give that all to you. Here's my emotions today, Lord. Here's my will. I want your will in my life. Lord, I want you to search my heart today. Is there sin in my life that I need to confess to you, that I need to get rid of and get out of my heart? Is there selfishness in my heart today? Am I trying to want things and do things that are going to benefit me? Or am I trying to do things today and want things that are only going to benefit and give you glory? Lord, teach me to pray. Get this sin out of my life. Get this selfishness out of my life. And the third thing he wants to get to reveal to us, Luke chapter 9, let me give this verse to you first. Luke 9, verse 23, then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You've got to turn from your selfish ways. And the third thing is stress. Anybody stressed out? Oh, stress comes just like that, doesn't it? Things pile up. Things seem to all hit at one time. The phone rings, an email comes, a text comes. It all comes at one time, and everybody wanting everything at one moment. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, writes in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Didn't he know the truth? You start getting stressful about things and it just seems to pull you down and down, further down. Nervousness, worry, concern, unease, apprehension. We've all been there and we've all had it. Maybe you have it this morning. Lord, here's my heart. Here's my emotions. Here's my will. I don't want my will today. I want your will. Lord, search my heart today. Is there any sin in my life? I confess that to you. Is there anything I'm doing today that's just because I want it? Get rid of that selfishness in my life. Lord, is there any stress today? Maybe it's not. Lord, is there? Lord, there is stress today. Help it not to weigh me down. Paul, in his letter to the Philippian church, wrote this, Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry or don't be anxious about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. There's our circle again, isn't it? I'm going to pray always, I'm going to give thanks, and because of that, I rejoice. And I rejoice and I say, Lord, thank you for the way you're working in my life, because I'm praying more. And I give him thanks in every circumstance, and I rejoice a little bit more. And it just keeps going and going and going. And that is the true life of a Christ follower. Praying, giving thanks, rejoicing. When we present our hearts to God, we've got to ask him to search our heart. And as we saw daily, every morning, I wake up. All right, God, here's my heart again today. Here's my emotions. Here's my will. I want your will in my life. I want you to help me to rejoice. Is there any sin in my life? Is there any selfishness in my life? Is there any stress that's coming my way, Lord? Help me just to get rid of that. Help me to set that aside. Help me to give thanks in every circumstance, rejoice, and then continue to pray. Help me to live the cycle. Help me to hit the start button before I do anything in my life and simply pray first. But when we present our hearts to God, we not only ask him to search our heart, we also need to set a monitor on our mouth and our heart. Set a monitor on our mouth and our heart. Simply by this, meaning this, keep check, keep watch, keep an eye on it. I want to keep an eye, I want to keep check, I want to keep watch on my mouth and on my heart. Paul had to stress this to the church at Ephesus when in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 he wrote this, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. If Christ followers would just take that verse and live their lives by that verse, do you know what a difference this world would be? If we would just decide, I'm not going to let anything come out of my mouth that isn't building up other people, isn't encouraging other people, isn't lifting them up. David wrote in Psalms 19 and verse 14, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Lord, today, I'm going to hit the start button. I'm going to pray first before I do anything. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my emotions. I'm going to give you my will today. Lord, is there any sin in my life? Is there any selfishness in my life? Is there any stress that's coming my way? Lord, I give that to you today. And Lord, help me to keep watch and to keep an eye and to keep check on my mouth and on my heart. I only want to say today, Lord, what's going to encourage someone, what's going to lift someone up, what's going to be thankful for what you're doing. And I not only want to do that so other people will know, but I want the words of my mouth and what's in my heart to be pleasing to you, Lord, pleasing in your sight. See, the door of your heart is a doorway into your spirit. And once something is in your spirit, you open the door of your mouth and that thing is released into your life. What's in your heart? Is there sin, selfishness, or stress? Or is there prayer, thankfulness, and rejoicing? I'll never forget a pastor preaching one time when I was at a church in Tennessee, and he made this statement, and it stuck with me forever. And as a side note, write this somewhere, and your heart does not stay where you put it. It stays where you keep it. Your heart does not stay where you put it. It stays where you keep it. How often do we want so much to put our heart in a place where it's rejoicing and we're giving thanks and we're praying continually, but then the cares of this world come and the treasures of this world we think we have to have more of, and our heart just follows us right where our treasure is. And we have to go, what are you doing over here? I told you, I want you to rejoice and give thanks and pray. And so we have to take our heart back over here and we have to put it where God wants it to be. And then the phone rings, or then a text comes, or an email comes, or a friend stops by. And the cares of this world seem to weigh us down again. And we look, and I'll be, there's our heart again. And I say, what are you doing over here? I put you over there. So now I've got to take you back, and I've got to put you back over here, where I want you to pray, and I want you to give thanks, and I want you to rejoice. Our heart doesn't stay where we put it. It stays where we keep it. We have to set a monitor on our mouth. We have to set a monitor on our heart. We have to keep watch. David in Psalms 49 and verse 3, my mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give understanding. Our heart does not stay where we put it. It stays where we keep it. I have to continually keep my focus on the Lord. I have to realize I've got to stay rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. I can't let the cares of the world weigh me down. When I was teaching youth ministry and student ministry, we had our Wednesday night class that would always meet, and we would have our own Bible study. And I had this guy in the youth group. He would sit kind of towards the back, and he liked to talk nonstop. And he would be talking with other people that he was sitting around, not listening to the Bible study, not contributing to the Bible study, not at all. And I'd have to say, Keith, up here. And his attention would come back up here. And just a few minutes later, he's talking. He's having fun. He's doing something crazy back there on the back row. And I'd have to say, Keith, come on, man. Stay with me. And one day, I just got tired. And finally, I said, Keith. And he looked up at me and I said, Proverbs 17:28. Read it right now. Everybody's all quiet. I hear, even fools may be thought wise and intelligent if they stay quiet and keep their mouths shut. Now, if you don't like that translation, it says it this way also. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Might be a better way to say it. But I couldn't have said that to Keith, because you know what Keith would have done? He'd have sat back there and held his tongue. Just to show me, all right, you want me to hold my tongue? I'll hold my tongue. Nope. Quiet, Keith. We have to set a monitor on our mouth. We have to set a monitor on our heart. And if we are going to pray first before we take action, we must present our hearts to God. Lord, here's my emotions. Here's my will today. Lord, I need you to search my heart. Help me to get rid of the sin, the selfishness, the stress, the nervousness, all the things that seem to weigh me down. Help me to get rid of those and just give thanks in every circumstance. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Help me to continue to pray and rejoice and to give thanks in every circumstance. But then we have to remember, we've got to ask God to help us keep His purpose and goals in view. His purpose and goals in view. You know, when it comes down to it, here's what it's all about. You ready? Serving Jesus, pleasing Jesus, obeying Jesus, trusting Jesus, and living for Jesus. That's it. When we decide that we're going to serve, please, obey, trust, and live for Jesus, wow, things can change. David states in Psalms 90 and verse 12, the King James Version says it the best, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Paul says to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. I've got to realize that it's His purpose and His goals that I need to keep in view. Not what I want, not what I desire, not what I need, but Lord, what do you desire? What do you need? What do you want in my life? Because you've got to know this, God has a purpose for each and every one of you. He has a plan for each and every one of you. And he didn't create you and then decide, I've got to find some place to put you. He had a plan. And in that plan of life, he said, there's a spot right there, and I need someone, so I'm going to create Willis, and I'm going to put him right there. I've got a plan for him. I've got a purpose for him. And he did the same for you. There's a spot up there in this thing that we call life that sometimes gets stressful, and sometimes we get selfish, and sometimes sin just seems to overtake. But I see that place. I need someone there. And then he created you so that you could fill his plan, fulfill his purpose, and keep his goals in life. Since God works, prayer works. Since God is good, prayer is good. And since you matter to God, your prayers matter to him. You're never without hope because you're never without prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Not that I just have a big list I've got to bring to you today, Lord. That is part of prayer, don't get me wrong. But don't start. Don't hit the start button with, Lord, here's my list. First of all, I've got to present my heart to God. I've got to give him my emotions. I've got to give him my will. Lord, it's not me anymore, it's you. And Lord, before we go any further, would you help me to search my heart? Is there any sin in my heart? Is there any selfishness in my heart? Is there any stress that's weighing me down that I need to get rid of? And Lord, as I confess my sin to you, as I get rid of my selfish, my will, but I want your will to be done, as you take that stress off of me because I know it's simply what you need in my life and what you desire in my life. Lord, I pray today, Lord, help me to watch my mouth. Help me only to say something to someone that's going to lift them up or encourage them. Help me to be a blessing to someone today. Remember, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Help me, Lord, to desire only your goals and your purpose for my life. Just teach me to pray, Lord. Spend some time right there, will you? Presenting your heart to God. Will you bow your heads for just a moment, please? It could even simply be the pocket prayer. Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It may be that it takes a little longer, but our prayers need to be one that are directed towards him. So let me pray for you just before we have our invitation. Lord, thank you for your power today. Help me to realize that your power is greater than any of my weaknesses. So I receive your power today. Father, simply forgive us for making you so small in our life. But thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your power each and every day to us. We pray, Lord, that we'll simply present our hearts to you, that you'll help us to search our heart, to keep a monitor on our mouth and on our heart. Help us to keep our heart close to you. Help us to pray always, to give thanks in every circumstance, and rejoice And again I say, help us rejoice. It's in your name we pray. Amen.